And here I was hoping he would introduce somebody else. Well, Mr. Rayner, Bob Rayner, was scheduled today, but he is somewhat under the weather, and there's plenty of it out there to be under. So my wife is also under the weather, a little too far for her own good. So how are you feeling today? Are you feeling good? Well, we're all just back from the feast. We have stories to tell. We have travels to talk about. We have people that we visited with and seen for who knows how long ago. We have visitors that we've run into, even as we have here today. And we have all that good food. Like, what great restaurant did you run across? Wow. Well, when is it all going to wear off, though? I mean, you know, sometime we have to come back down to earth. Somebody asked me, how was my feast? And I said, well, it was about 6 months too short. Surprisingly, it won't take too long for our feast excitement to wear down. Then what happens? Well, the excitement is gone. And today, well, yesterday too, but especially today, you look outside and what do we see but rain, weather changes. We get to 5 o'clock and we wonder, where did the sun go? It's quite a drastic change from summer and fall into the late fall and winter months. This condition that we run into every year, and especially those who are not acclimatized to the northern latitudes, those from California, and those that just got back from Hawaii, and a few other folks, may have what's called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. I did a little research on the web last night and found a nice article from the Mayo Clinic. And they say that the seasonal affective disorder is a type of depression that occurs at the same time every year. If you're like most people with seasonal affective disorder, your symptoms start in the fall and may continue into the winter months, sapping your energy and making you feel moody. Don't brush off that yearly feeling as simply a case of winter blues or a seasonal funk. Addressing the problem can help you keep your mood and motivation steady throughout the year. Now, some of the symptoms, and most of you are aware of them, but just to be official, they are depression, hopelessness, thankfully though we have a greater hope than most of the world, anxiety, a loss of energy, amen, social withdrawal, oversleeping, I wish, loss of interest in activities once you once enjoyed, appetite changes, especially a craving for foods and high in carbohydrates, weight gain, ladies, difficulty concentrating and processing information. If that were the case, I would be fired tomorrow. But those are the symptoms of SAD, S-A-D. Now, like they said, it can last for months, but it doesn't affect everyone. And the symptoms, as we saw, some can be severe and some not so severe. But we each need to monitor ourselves and our friends to maybe cheer them up a little bit. But SAD also leads to another condition that Christians, especially you folks out there and this one here, need to be especially aware of. And it's called SID, S-I-D. You've never heard of it. That's because I just made it up last night. SID is seasonal influenced disorder. Seasonal influenced disorder, and it's a spiritual condition. SAD leads us to the depression and the other symptoms that I described. SID can affect our spiritual life, especially as we encounter the upcoming world's holidays, like October the 31st, Halloween. In the model prayer, Jesus says we should pray not to be led into temptation and to be delivered from the evil one who sponsors these days that we're talking about. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul writes, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. He would love to drag us down into depression. He would love that we would become hopeless. But that's not what we want or what we need or what God intends. John wrote in 1 John 2 about some of the tricks and the traps that Satan uses to drag us into hopelessness, especially during this time. Because some of you, of course, grew up in the church. But a lot of us, like myself, came out of the world. And so we've not been so isolated from the world. What are those traps that Satan has for us? Well, in 1 John 2:16, it is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are Satan's traps because they work right with who and what we are. They coincide with it. Let's take a look at each one of these. The lust of the eyes. And this affects guys, but it also affects gals. What happens during the holiday season? They start advertising all these new, neat toys. And they put them on special prices so that you can buy them $1.298 cheaper. So here are these sales galore, and we look at them. In Psalm 119, verse 36 in the Amplified Bible, it says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. This world wants you to covet. They want you to go out and take that piece of plastic or those pieces of plastic and say, here, I want this, I cannot wait. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 21 and verse 26 in the Amplified Bible, he says, He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not withhold. Here you see on Sunday especially, if you take the paper, about a half a pound or more of ads from Best Buy and Costco and all these other different stores advertising all these toys and clothes and things like that. And you sit there and you have gone through them and covetousness builds up. But it's better to give rather than withhold. Rather than spend, give. Give to a charity. Give of yourself. Let's take the second one. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. What would that be? Well, most people think of it as sex. That's a common thing. But there's lust of the flesh like food. There's holiday treats, dinners, drinks, parties, like down where I work. They're preparing for a Halloween potluck. I don't know whether they're serving hands, knuckles, feet, and arms, but that's what they are planning on, is a Halloween potluck. Then there's, of course, Christmas, the end of the year dinners where oftentimes bonuses are given out. In Proverbs 25, Solomon writes, "Have you found honey? Eat only what is good and right for you." Take a look at the term glutton in your Bible. Glutton doesn't necessarily mean overeating. It just means partying. It means eating too much. It means eating too constantly. In Proverbs 6:27, let me take a look at this. Proverbs 6:27, it says, as soon as I find Proverbs, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" Let me give you an example. One day, 1 year, I went to a end-of-the-year dinner for my employer. And I was in sales at the time. And they knew that I did not keep Christmas. They knew that I did not eat unclean foods, meats like pork. And so I went to dinner. Who shows up but some guy dressed in red with a white beard? Wonderful, guys. I'm supposed to be happy and show that I'm happy? I don't think so. When they brought out dinner, what did they have? They had fish, which is okay, except that it was wrapped in bacon. And then they had other stuff along with it. It is an unclean time of year. And if you go with them, you may suffer the consequences. Okay, let's take a look at the last one, the pride of life. What is the pride of life? Well, Job had it. It was what you might call self-righteousness. Let's take a look in Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5, and again, I'm going to use the Amplified Bible, but you can use whichever one you got. We can't all look at the same one at the same time. Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good," and for the people in the world, that's what this time of life is it is what they think of as good, "and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent and shrewd in their own sight." The pride of life also encompasses other areas. How about self-sufficiency? I don't need anybody else. I can do it all myself. That is especially strong in our culture here in the United States, but it is also especially strong in the Pacific Northwest here, because we are lumberjack stock. We can go out and cut down trees and do that kind of thing. Let's take a look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, again from the Amplified. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise and skillful person glory and boast in his wisdom and skill. Let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his strength and power. Let not the person who is rich in physical gratification and earthly wealth glory and boast in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and know me," and they add, "personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character," speaking of God, "that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight." A lot of the pride of life can get into self-permissions, I give myself permission to slide this way or slide this way or take this shortcut or well, I can maybe do this. And that's just on the edge of not being right with God. Sad affects us physically, but it can also lead into emotional and psychological challenges, as we discussed, such as depression, withdrawal, anxiety, and it often changes with the seasons. Sad's challenges coupled with Satan's holidays and traps can lead to Sid. Sid doesn't change with the seasons. Left untreated and unaddressed, it leads to death. Let's be on the lookout for both of these, for each other and for ourselves, and treat their symptoms when they begin. Let's take a look, for my closing scriptures, at Proverbs 15:13. In the Amplified it says, "A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken." And in 17:22, it says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." So cheerfulness is the way to go, and let's avoid the sad and Sid consequences.